Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to discovering delectable dining? Find something that sizzles, a time-tested favorite, a feast for your eyes and palate, and a dining experience handled with care. In Vicksburg, the key to the South.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, here we go. Welcome in, everybody, on this Sunday night for the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are with me. And the lead, the theme of the day, is the help that Ole Miss got after the game against Arkansas. Not the game against Arkansas, the dominating win over Arkansas. They went up to Fayetteville, kicked off in the morning, and they got a ton of help in the evening, to the point where I think that we've already talked about, you know, get to 10, they're going to get in with 10. It's hard to know for sure because we won't know what the committee is thinking until Tuesday, which is election night, and the college football playoff rankings are coming out on the same night as election night. You know, it is what it is. That's the biggest news of the day for sure, but we won't exactly know their line of thinking until we see their initial rankings. But I do think that the help that Ole Miss received logically made their path to the playoff as simple as controlling their own destiny. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And I haven't had a chance to have a live chat since the game against Arkansas. So I want to hear you guys, what you think about the game. And obviously we'll talk a lot about Georgia throughout the week. We'll do it on Tuesday and Thursday, getting you ready for that game. The biggest game on Ole Miss's campus since when? That'll be certainly a talking point this week. So that's what we're discussing tonight. Glad that you guys are here on this edition of the Rebel Report. If you have not already, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report on your favorite podcast app. Subscribe and leave a rating and a review. I appreciate all of you listening in podcast form. I know we do a live chat here, but there are significantly more of you listening in podcast form. So I'm glad that you guys are doing it, and I appreciate you as well. And don't forget to also, if you're watching or listening on YouTube, to like and subscribe here as well. And this edition of the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you are a small business owner, or you have been personally injured, or there's contract disputes, or even if just you think that there might be a day where you could need legal advice in those areas, save this phone number. It's 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. It's the Gregory Law Firm. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi, but he'll service you anywhere in Mississippi. You may not need him today, but if you're a small business owner, you're certainly going to need legal advice at some point. So that's the person you want to call. And just save that number, because if the day comes where something happens to you, you don't want to be left not knowing where to go. I'm telling you where to go. It's the best place you can go. The Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory, presenting the Rebel Report. So Ole Miss obviously helped themselves on Saturday, beating the absolute breaks off of Arkansas, but they got the help that they needed. There is something that, if you listen to the radio show every day, you know that I always hope for college football weekends, is I want there to be a chaos weekend where there's a bunch of upsets and a bunch of just shocking results. And for the last few weeks, we haven't gotten real, true chaos. There's been a lot of close, and then there's been a lot of not so much. This past weekend, we got chaos. We could have gotten more, but this past weekend, we got chaos, and we got chaos to the point to where I think Ole Miss got a ton of help. And simply put, we'll go through the games that impacted Ole Miss here in a second, but I do think their path is very, very simple. If you're looking at this, the games remaining on the schedule for the teams in front of them or vying for the same spot as them, and then also the resume. I know Ole Miss has a loss to Kentucky on it, but if and of course, none of this matters without winning out. So this would include a win over Georgia, but nobody would have that resume in the same general area that Ole Miss is in. So they got the help they needed. I think it's as simple as controlling their own destiny. We'll see on Tuesday what the committee actually feels about it. But looking at it just from an objective, like this team should get in over this team for this reason perspective, if Ole Miss wins out, Ole Miss is going to make the playoff, especially because of some of the results that they got this weekend. So the early slate was lacking a little bit. I was watching closely Oregon and Michigan. That ended up not being a thing. It was tied at 7 after 1, but Oregon ran away with it in the second quarter. Didn't get any chaos in Florida-Georgia. However, you guys saw what I've been talking about. Georgia is vulnerable. There's been too much talk about this impenetrable force that is Georgia football. As we talked about last week, this Georgia team is not the one that you've seen over the last couple of years. They've got a turnover-prone quarterback, really banged up at running back, not super dynamic at wide receiver the way they have been in years past. I think Ole Miss matches up really well with Georgia's offensive line and Ole Miss's defensive front. Look, it's going to be a struggle for Ole Miss to score, but it's going to be a struggle for Georgia to score as well in this game. You saw it. Georgia is vulnerable. If Lagway doesn't shred his hamstring, then Florida would have beaten Georgia yesterday. So that is a vulnerable Georgia team, and I think it's better for Ole Miss if Georgia would have won that game. But what you saw was vulnerability out of the Georgia Bulldogs. You should have known that they were vulnerable already, but you saw it on Saturday, even if you didn't get the result that you were hoping for. Same thing with Miami Duke. So after the early wave, I thought, gosh, this is going to be another weekend that's going to go to chalk. Not so much when things changed for the nightcap. Now, Tennessee took a pick six to seal the game, but Tennessee really struggled with Kentucky. That could have helped. But here is what helped. Texas A&M received their second loss by getting absolutely smoked by South Carolina. Still one spot ahead of Ole Miss in the AP poll. The AP poll does not matter anymore. It is completely and totally useless. Starting Tuesday, no other poll matters. It's just the playoff poll. I don't think Texas A&M should be ranked in front of Ole Miss at all. But they were, and South Carolina absolutely smoked them, giving them their second loss. They still have to play Texas. I think that Texas A&M should be behind Ole Miss now moving forward. We'll see what the committee does, but that was a big help for Ole Miss. And also that win over South Carolina looks really good, and I think it's going to continue to look better. That is a team that is peaking there in Columbia. They're playing really good ball. Sellers is getting better. And by the end of the season, that might be a ranked road win in which Ole Miss won by four scores. So that South Carolina win's looking better as well. Iowa State got their first loss with Texas Tech going in there and beating them in a monsoon. Iowa State's going to be ranked ahead of Ole Miss. They're still going to be ranked ahead of Ole Miss, but the fewer Big 12 teams, the better. So them getting knocked off, there's a chance they get a second loss, but the fewer the Big 10 teams with 11 or 12 wins, the better, giving the committee more excuses to leave them out. And by the end of the season, Ole Miss will have a better resume than Iowa State as well. Clemson got their second loss. They dropped behind Ole Miss. They are done. If Ole Miss runs the table, Clemson will not get in ahead of Ole Miss unless they somehow win the ACC. That is the only way that they get in ahead of Ole Miss. They're not going to win out. Their schedule is actually kind of difficult, and there's obviously questions about Dabo and whether or not the program is on a slight decline. It's still solid. That's a conversation for another day. They're still very good. They're still very solid. But he had Clemson at the top of the college football world. They're not a national power anymore. And it's evidenced by when they've played teams with pulses, this is what has happened to them. Houston also got Kansas State completely out of the way for Ole Miss. So Iowa State loses. Clemson loses. Texas A&M loses. All of them, I think, Ole Miss will be in front of on Tuesday. At least they should be. A win over Georgia will solidify that as well. But Kansas State, out of there. They were a one-loss Big 12 team ranked ahead of Ole Miss. They lost. Boom. Out of there. A worry no more. Illinois, for what it's worth, suffered their third loss. They weren't ahead of Ole Miss, but they went ahead and got out of there as well. Pittsburgh got absolutely smoked by SMU. I think neither one of those teams, even with just one loss, if they run the table, should be ranked ahead of Ole Miss, should Ole Miss run the table. But one of those two teams had to lose anyway. So they got the help. I mean, Kansas State out. Clemson out. Iowa State maybe not out, but when you'll compare resumes, Ole Misses will be better in this scenario. Texas A&M, same thing. Ole Misses will be better with a win over Georgia, and those guys still have to play Texas. And also that South Carolina win looks a lot better. So you got chaos, got exactly what you needed for Ole Miss to make these next three games not only matter, but solidify their standing for a college football playoff berth. You're going to get more of this. These teams are going to play each other. Alabama, LSU is coming up, and so on and so forth. So more teams are going to lose in front of them. But they got just enough this weekend to where I think it – I said it a second ago, but I'll say it again. It is, to me, abundantly clear. Win the rest of your games. You make the playoff. Ole Miss is in complete control of what happens to Ole Miss, and it starts on Saturday with Georgia. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, by the way. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what your Mississippi business needs and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you. Anything that's tech in the office and your business needs it, check them out. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. They make you their priority every day with local loan servicing and decision-making. It is a very customer-first bank, for sure. I feel it, and you'll feel it too if you go to your local Priority One Bank location and bank with me at Priority One Bank. So let's get to the comments now. Here we go. I'll be curious what the closest score was to winning that hat, because I doubt anyone expected 63-31. I sure didn't. But that, that was the best, most complete game they've played all season. Lane Kiffin talked about it today some too, where, and I did it in the post game a little bit, but I mean, three of Arkansas's touchdowns came in garbage time. And what did Kiffin describe it as? They were playing to the score, I think is the way he described that. He said the defense played better than the score indicates that they did, and I agree. 18 sacks in two games for the Ole Miss defense, but it's all about Jackson Dart. And pass protection's been really good for Ole Miss. Incorporating the tight end, looks like they're getting the ball out a little bit faster. But also Jackson Dart's just, he has flipped that switch. He looks comfortable. He looks confident. He's got that edge back to him, that arrogance in a good way. I mean, that complimentary, but he's got that edge back. It looked like he was, angry half the time and having a blast the other half the time on Saturday. And when he plays with that edge, look at what he can become. The offense could not possibly be more confident, I don't think, going into a game than they will be going into this one. Still need to run the football better. Kiffin said Henry Parrish was going to be out, and based on the looks of it, he's certainly not embellishing anything there. But this has got to be a really confident offense. And then maybe Trey Harris is back for this game as well. And if that's the case, then if they keep distributing the football with balance the way they have in his absence, you got to love what you've seen over the last six quarters. While the run game has not been much the last six quarters, some of the best Ole Miss has looked under Kiffin in his 5 years. Complete dominance, couldn't be a better time than now. Absolutely, they're peaking right now. Saw Arkansas people complaining that Kiffin was running the score up for a multitude of reasons. Yeah, I saw Trey Biddy doing that. And I mean, here's the thing. I try, and I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. Certainly not, and I admit that, but I try to be as consistent with my opinions as possible. Like, I'm pro field storming. South Carolina stormed the field, good. I love it. I don't care, and I'm not going to criticize anybody for storming the field. If Ole Miss beats Georgia on Saturday and you guys storm the field, have a great time. I think it's awesome. Like, stuff like that, right? I'm pretty consistent. Even if it happens to Ole Miss, I'm still consistent about, like, the fake injury thing. I know Kiffin got it. Like, that's what he wanted. He even talked about it after the game. But Ole Miss made a mockery of it. I hated watching it. I thought it was ugly. It was bad. I didn't like it. Arkansas literally 1 week ago was throwing touchdown passes in the fourth quarter of a game in which they were absolutely dominating on the road. Like, the exact same scenario. The exact same scenario happened with Arkansas a week ago, and I didn't see anybody crying about running up the score a week ago when they were doing it to Mississippi State. Arkansas ran up. They were throwing touchdown passes in the fourth quarter with their starters against Mississippi State in a game in which they were in complete and total control of, dominated the game. Nobody was crying then, but when it happens to you, you're crying. And I don't like that. I think that that is just weak. It's soft is what it is. And I'm not like that tough guy. Like, I'm not that guy. But that's soft as hell. You literally – the team you cover – that you're crying for about running up the score, did it Sorry about that. And on top of it all, this is SEC football. And I get the running up the score thing when it comes to an FCS game. Like, I think that there's a time and place for stuff like that. Let me see if I can get this back. There we go. Okay. Like there's a time and place for running up the score. I think in FCS games, for example, when teams are completely overmatched, you should dial it back some, but we're talking about an SEC versus SEC game. There is no such thing as running up the score when it's this. I'm sorry. This is big boy, and it's now professional football. This is professional football. If you're crying about running up the score, that's loser behavior. But it's also loser behavior, by the way, to do touchdown celebrations and little dances and stuff when you're down 42-10. I mean, that, to me, is such an indictment on, and I like him a lot, but on Sam Pittman. And whoever is involved in coaching Arkansas, you're down 42-10 on your home field and you score a touchdown and you're doing goofy little dances. Give the ball back to the ref. Get your butt back to the sideline. You're getting humiliated and you're dancing? It's a joke. So the crying about running up the score was soft. The dancing down 42-10 when you score a touchdown on your home field is an indictment on culture, in my opinion. So a lot of bad coming out of Arkansas in that game, aside from the actual score, which was also bad. South Carolina did Ole Miss a huge favor. The Gamecocks are not to be trifled with. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, but you know, I remember, South Carolina's defense, apparently not good. Ole Miss's defense, not good. man. Is it safe to say Ole Miss, Georgia are similar in the sense that the defenses are solid, but the offenses can be hit or miss? Yeah, that's fair to say. Frankly, though, I think Ole Miss's offense is better than Georgia's. Is at this point, I think it might be. Beck's issue is he turns the football over too much. When he's not throwing interceptions, he's talented and capable, and the offense moves the football a little bit. But he's been a turnover machine. I think, what is it, three interception games this season? He, under duress, turns the football over. And so I would be shocked beyond measure if Ole Miss and Pete Golding do not implement a pretty aggressive game plan in really trying to attack Carson Beck and force him into those mistakes, because he is mistake prone. And like they've got injury issues at running back, and I don't think they're particularly good up front on the offensive line compared to what you're used to with Georgia anyway. And yeah, you're exactly right. Georgia has looked discombobulated on offense all season. Beck has been bad a lot. Florida gave them all they wanted with a team of backups. Too bad Lagway got hurt, and that sucked. I hope I saved this. I think I did. All the guys that Florida was missing in this game in which they had a chance to win in the fourth quarter. Okay, this is from College Football King, so hopefully they are telling the truth. They've got 37,000 followers, so hopefully that's indication of good information. But Florida was without their QB1, Graham Mertz, although he's not really QB1 anymore. But anyway, DJ Lagway, RB1 Montrell Johnson, WR1 Eugene Wilson, DB1 Jason Marshall, starting defensive back Devin Moore, and starting defensive back Dijon Johnson. It was tied at 20 with 5 minutes to go in the game. Florida playing a third-string quarterback, missing their best running back and wide receiver. Florida is getting better. Like Billy's doing a good job there. Like truly, like they he's getting a lot out of that team. But the fact that it was the fact that it was like that at all is, it's more about Georgia than it is about Florida to me. Georgia's very good. They're very talented. They're favored in Oxford for a reason. They're very human. Think we're done with the Fayetteville narratives. That place was empty fast. Has to be the most dominant non-Vandy SEC road win in many years. Yeah, and I mean, very good bit of empty seats at kickoff. I mean, they come off of a gigantic road win, at least score-wise. I know Mississippi State is awful, but I mean, you go smoke somebody on the road and Ole Miss is coming to your place, and I mean, you got empty, thousands of empty seats and kind of dead atmosphere. It also didn't help that Ole Miss just from the jump just kind of owned them, but still. The Big 12 destroyed their playoff chances outside of BYU and Colorado, oddly enough. The Big 12 very well could be a one-bid league for sure, which obviously helps Ole Miss. Kudos to the offensive line, best game so far. And I mentioned it in the postgame, but Michael Pettis, they pass protected well. I think it's obvious that run blocking is still an issue, but they protected well. If they're going to protect like that, they'll be okay. If you watch them play, Ole Miss is better than Tennessee. Absolutely, I agree. 41 sacks on the season for the Rebel defense, 18 in the last two games. Could be more as well. I mean, 18 is after a few missed sack opportunities as well. What are the chances that Ole Miss beats Georgia? This is a cop-out answer, but 50-50. I mean, I think they have a real chance at winning this game. A lot of things have to go right. They have to have their best day protecting Jackson. I think they need Trey Harris back for this one. But I really like Ole Miss's defensive front and how they match up with Georgia's offensive front. I really think that this could be a really low-scoring game with like a 17-14 final, something like that. I mean, maybe that's a little hyperbolic, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is a low-scoring field position kind of game, because I really do think Ole Miss's front matches up really well with, man, basically anybody in the country. I mean, at this point, what more can you say about the Ole Miss front six? It's spectacular. That's the only other way. That's the only word that I can come up with to describe it. They are spectacular on the defensive front. It's kind of a cheesy word, but whatever. It's true. So yeah, I mean, I think they got a shot, and I think, you know, it's kind of one of those coin flip games, and they got to continue to play clean football. That's the biggest thing that they did this past Saturday. They didn't make mistakes. They didn't drop passes. I mean, yes, there was a couple penalties, but they didn't have dumb, inopportune penalties. They gave Arkansas no chance to get back in that game. They just executed and didn't shoot themselves in the foot. Absent, going for it on fourth down there is fine. On that first possession, especially because when you don't get it, you had Arkansas backed up all the way there, and you get a sack fumble for a touchdown. It's just not using the Pegues package every time when you need this much is just is malpractice at this point. Not kicking the field goal there when you're this far from the end zone, no, that's fine. It's a fine decision. But other than that, Ole Miss gave Arkansas nothing. And so if they turn six quarters of clean football into four more, then they're going to win the game. A&M had that loss coming. Such malpractice by LSU, getting exposed by a backup running quarterback. I don't think A&M makes the playoff, and they finish 9-3, losing to Texas. I do agree. Let's see. Who else do they have? They have a pretty – it's just Texas, right? Let's see. Well, they got to go to Auburn, and I know Auburn sucks, but, you know, that's not nothing. Maybe Hugh Freeze can salvage things with a win over A&M there. Ole Miss has looked like world beaters the last six quarters. Are we finally hitting our stride at the right time? I think that the team is absolutely peaking right now. They're playing their best football right now, for sure. I don't think it's a fluke. I don't think it's about competition level, because they lost to Kentucky and looked like crap doing it. You know, they're peaking right now. That's a good thing. You want your team to peak in November. Better late than never. They should have never lost to Kentucky. If they don't get it done on Saturday, that will be one of the most consequential losses in program history. But better late than never, at least in the meantime. Georgia has not played a complete game yet this season, even against Texas. They disappeared in the third quarter. Absolutely, they did. Clemson also had their season destroyed by Louisville, so emblematic of Dabo and the program falling. And that's the thing. That's what's, you know, I talked to a Clemson buddy about this today, and he's like, he's in that purgatory is not the right answer because they're still a good program, but they're not recruiting top five classes anymore either. So they're not using the portal. They're not recruiting top five classes anymore, but they're good. Like it's a good, solid program. They're going to win a lot of ACC games because the conference is bad, but they are not what they once were. They were at the top of the college football world, winning championships, getting the best players. Offensively, they've been bad for years, and they're not supplementing misses in recruiting via portal when all of the other best programs in college football are doing that, and they are not. And when they play the best teams on their schedule, they lose those games. And, I mean, what else can you point to? And so, again, I was an old high school friend I was talking to today about it. And it's like, if you're a Clemson fan, what do you think? It's like, you can't fire Dabo because they're winning still. Like, it's a good program. And he does it, you know, it's a respectable program too. But also, there is a clear step down from where they were. And so what do you do about it? There's really nothing you can do about it. You can't fire the guy unless you want to pay him $80 million or whatever it is. No, it's less than that. But still, SMU and Miami in the ACC title will be really fun. SMU is no joke. They are absolutely not a joke. Oh, no, they're very good. SMU schedule, though, their resume is lacking. Doesn't count as true help, but I'm sure Ole Miss fans love seeing Diego Pavia and Vaney beat Auburn. First ever win, Jordan Hare for the doors. Hugh Freeze making history. Yeah, I'm telling you, if Vanderbilt prints the Alabama State Champion shirt, I will buy them. I will buy them. 100% I will buy them. So. And also, I mean, Pavia is a great story. Vanderbilt's a great story. Hugh Freeze is a poor man's Jimbo Fisher. I said that like a month and a half ago, and I am sticking to it. That is the correct take. He's a poor man's Jimbo Fisher. Was good once and is riding the coattails of two wins over Alabama. Otherwise, not impressive. I mean, Lane Kiffin has done... Look at what Lane Kiffin has done at Ole Miss versus what Hugh Freeze did at Ole Miss. Everybody points to Freeze's time at Ole Miss and how awesome it was. And I know he didn't have the portal at the time, but still, Lane Kiffin has had a significantly better tenure at Ole Miss than Hugh Freeze. I mean, significantly better. It's not even comparable. Eras are different, but you guys see it too. One criticism from the game is, can they just run the Pegues package near the goal line and stop the hurry up with a 150-pound running back? It's the only real qualm about what happened Saturday, but you're right. Would have smoked Georgia the way they played? I agree. Jackson Dart has time, and he's looked like a man possessed, 21 touchdown passes and 3,200 yards. And, I mean, just he's not turning the football over either, knock on wood. Not turning the football over. Four records fell yesterday. Yes, right. It's most wins for a starting quarterback, yards in a game, yards in a career, and receiving yards and touchdowns in a game, right? I think that's it. Don't storm the field. You're a pick 'em. Ole Miss is better, honestly. Yeah, but I get that. Truly, I do. But I'm always pro field storming. Have fun. College football is fun. If you're a student, college is fun. If you get a chance to go on the field, go on the field. You'll never forget it. For the rest of your life, you will never forget getting to storm the field and how that felt, ever. That feeling does not go away. So don't let it go away. Do it. Keith Carter will be so mad if he heard that I said that. I'll say it on the radio show, too. much larger audience there. And if it gets back to him, he'll be mad that I am encouraging fans to storm the field. But have fun. You only get to do it a few times in your life. Don't waste it. It's great to see for Jordan Watkins. He's been quiet all year, not necessarily to his fault. Yeah, he was great, and it shows you what this offense can be is if they're intentionally distributing the football, right? I mean, because even with his incredible day, I mean, Caden Lee had over 100 yards, and Daquan Wright had right at 100 yards. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was just Jordan Watkins. They were just distributing the football. But because they had so many options, you had Watkins' ability to exploit a one-on-one matchup, and he was just beating it. It's not running the score up when you're doing it in the flow of the game. In the third quarter, Arkansas keeps scoring. You keep scoring. Lane quit trying to score in the fourth quarter. Exactly. Like Cam Newton said, if you don't like it, stop me. Beat Georgia, sincerely from a Buckeyes fan, I think you will. Appreciate you being here, man. I don't know if you noticed, Buckeye, Mr. Bucknuts. Literally his name for your podcast listeners. I can't point. That is a hand-drawn Ohio Stadium from 1988, I believe, is so obviously it's not, you don't have the, you have the empty end zone, but that's what that is. Yeah, it's a 1988 hand-drawn Ohio Stadium, actually, right underneath the Furman poster up there. So, yeah. And that's a Fiesta Bowl printout. You got to see Darren Sproles run around in that. Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you guys about what's on my wall. Just showing off to you, Ohio State fan. Big win for you guys. James Franklin is the worst big game coach in college football history. He is so good at getting talent. He is so good at beating teams that are lesser than him. But, man, he just can't do it. It's crazy. It's a big win for Ohio State. Honestly, Ohio State should have beaten the you-know-what out of Penn State. Penn State scored 3 offensive points. A pick six was the only touchdown, and Howard fumbled going into the end zone for another. So Ohio State kind of should have blown Penn State out yesterday. So congrats to you. Not going to lie, you appreciate Dominique Thomas's fight every time he runs the ball. Still need Bentley with more carries, though. I agree, but he looked good. He looked capable, right? Parrish's injury looked awful. Hope he has a speedy recovery. Same here. And I mean, I think we talk about the running back position so much, and there's a small handful of people that are just not wanting to agree with me, which is fine. I mean, disagree with me all day. I'm just glad that you're here and listening, but I don't think that they used I think they asked Parrish to do too much. His body, and that I'm not certainly not blaming anybody for an injury. That it's football. That happens. Not doing that. The games before Arkansas, they were really just kind of trying to use him as an all-purpose back, and physically I don't think that that's what he's built for. And all he did was just run hard and play well. I mean, he you know how cheesy this is, but like he represented the school well. He played well and played hard and did clearly did everything that he was asked to do and was filling a role and getting a heavy load of carries. And he was playing banged up and still just was willing to take a handoff and just run right into the teeth of a line, you know, and played hard. And so you just, you know, thankful for what he was able to do for you, but that injury was brutal. And just hope that he can recover from it. Cause that sucks. But yeah, props to the Arkansas trainers helping out the guys with Parrish. He was definitely in pain. Here's my question though. Why the hell was there no cart? They had to get him to walk off the field so they could wheelchair him up the tunnel. Bring the wheelchair on the field. Like I'm sitting here screaming. It's like you have no cart. You're making him walk after that. You have a wheelchair available. Push the, forgive my language, earmuffs, everybody. If you got little ones in the car, push the damn wheelchair onto the field and have him sit on it and wheel him off the field if that's the only thing you have. But making this dude that, I mean, my gosh, with that injury walk off the field. He could barely move. He's got little trainers trying to hold him up, and you've got a wheelchair off the field. You don't think to maybe push that on the field to whatever. That was so stupid. Like how very like smart medical people, brilliant people could not think maybe we shouldn't let him walk. Anyway, Carson Beck against Alabama, Mississippi State, Texas, and Florida has 11 interceptions. Yikes. Also against Bama, lost a fumble and committed a safety. Pressure. He struggles under duress. Feel like Beck is going to get nervous in the pocket with all that pressure. They can't protect as well, and they haven't faced many defensive lines like Ole Miss has. I would argue they haven't faced one. Now, Texas, Texas is very talented up front on the defensive line. So is Alabama. I don't think Texas and Alabama are as elite across the board and depth-wise as Ole Miss is. But they struggled in those games against comparable talent teams too. Georgia can lose this game, but Ole Miss cannot. Yeah, all the pressure is on Ole Miss in this one. But all the pressure was on Ole Miss yesterday in Fayetteville, and they thrived in it. So that's got to be encouraging. Is it pointless now to keep asking about the Bentley situation? It is at this point. It is. Dominic Thomas will fill in for Parrish. He's a strong runner. Like his story, too. Bet on himself a little bit. Went back and watched the game some, and there was a lot to like about what he contributed for Ole Miss. There was a lot to like about what he did. So, we'll see. Don't know if the run blocking, while not great, is by far the only problem there. They don't have any dynamic runners or size there, but they also don't use the one guy capable. Yeah. You can see low scoring, kind of like Ole Miss Bama 2014. Good call on that. Yeah. Dart helped out the run game quite a bit. Yes, he did. It's about time. Need a run game to beat Georgia? I don't agree. Now, here's what I mean by I don't agree. They can't just not run the football at all. Like, they have to do it to keep Georgia honest. But at this point, your offense is productive throwing the football. Your quarterback right now is playing outstanding. You've got quality receivers and quality tight ends, and your offensive line is pass protecting well. Why do they need to run the ball? Like, what? I mean, this is just what they're good at. If just running the ball on first down for a yard is what they have to do, then why do it? I'm not saying abandon it completely, but it's fine if they let Dart sling it 40 times in this game, because that is what they're best at. So do what you're best at. Auburn's going to go 4-8. That ass beating they'll take in Tuscaloosa will not go over well. Oof. Just for fun, uniform predictions. So they abandoned the 12 combinations thing, right? Those are gone. So I think you'll see powder white. That's my guess. I have no idea why I think that. I think that that's Lane's favorite uniform. Powder white is what I'll go with. And no, I don't think that they have the road white uniforms with red numbers. I think those are gone. The game this week already feels like 03 LSU. No, I wouldn't know about that since you were only 2 years old. Thanks for making me feel old, and I'm not old. But the stakes are there. 2014 Auburn is another good comparison. Yeah, that was a tough game to be in the stadium for. It felt like a funeral walking out of that game. Truly. Going to guess the committee ranks Ole Miss 15. I think they might be higher than that or lower. Their ranking might be better than that. Apparently, the committee is going to look at metrics. At least that's what's been said. And the metrics, the analytics or whatever, absolutely love Ole Miss. So, Lane has been the best Ole Miss coach in decades. Ole Miss has more wins since 2020 than every other SEC program, not named Bama or Georgia. You're including Texas and Oklahoma. Think about that. Yep, we talked about that a lot this offseason, too. Yeah. Oh, Colin, you're not an idiot. You're not an idiot, man. That happens. Dart broke Archie Manning's total offense record, Corral's passing record, and Watkins had yards and touchdowns. Then you have the career stuff by Dart, yeah. And that's a place where they've struggled in the past. And that's why I talk about history not mattering. That is something that, you know, we did it talking about the game in Baton Rouge. They didn't lose that game because of history. History is just a thing that people like to talk about, but I mean, if Ole Miss just never wins in Fayetteville, then why did they go up there and win by 5 touchdowns? Because history doesn't matter. What matters is who the teams are at this very moment. And that's it. Is this the biggest Ole Miss game since 2014 Alabama? Is it weird if I think this one's bigger? Is that weird? Probably, because that was the first college game day and all that, but I think the NCAA stuff and how that ended is clouding my judgment on that. Yeah, it's the biggest game since 2014 Alabama. But what about 15 Arkansas? You know, if they don't lose that game, they're playing in the SEC championship. O-line pass protection was excellent this weekend. Yeah, one sack. That's all they gave up. Same old Penn State and James Franklin, right? Not surprised at all. Take Kiffin or Brian Kelly over James Franklin, I would too. Penn State's going to get a playoff spot, no show like they usually do. And Mr. Bucknut still in here says, yep, love it. Parrish is a perfectly fine player, but they ran him into the ground. I do agree with that. I think that they overused him. Some guys want to be tough and walk off. Perhaps it was his choice. Maybe so, but man, he's clearly hurt. Why are you making him walk? Didn't consider the Georgia game last year the biggest game ever territory because you didn't think they had a chance of winning it. I didn't think they were going to make the playoff. The expanded playoff just changes the implications of games like this, too. Lane said the play calling was better, and you agree, but that doesn't excuse what we saw against Kentucky and LSU at all. Still think we probably have a chance at a change at OC after the season. Yeah. I mean, it's abundantly clear now, right, that the criticisms after Kentucky and LSU were valid. The plans were questionable relative to what we're used to seeing from a Lane Kiffin coach team, and you saw the difference. Georgia's overrated. Their offense isn't that great. Shut down the run game and get after Beck. Everyone's going to give it a go, right? I don't know. I do think that they're – I would say now that I would expect both Priest, Korn, and Harris to play. How effective they are, I don't know. But I do expect them both to play, for whatever that's worth. With what we saw yesterday in these three games left, locked in Ole Miss does not lose to Florida or State, 7-2 right now. If I set the total at 9.5, what would you take? Over. Yeah, I think that they're going to beat Georgia on Saturday. I do. I think that that defensive front is going to be able to create some havoc, and havoc leads to turnovers, and turnovers leads to wins. Basketball starts tomorrow. Yes, it does. I'm looking forward to it now. What is it, Longwood or Long Island or whoever the hell tomorrow? So I'll watch it just like all of you will. But I am very excited for basketball season in general. I mean, for the radio show especially, I'm not picking on them. I mean, this is just reality. Spending all football season where half of our audience is miserable is not fun. I mean, it's just not fun to cover. Because the same things every week. It's, you know, the defense is the worst, like one of the worst in SEC football history. And it's just, you know, what else can you say? And I mean, you can kind of feel, you can feel an audience not having fun. You can feel it. And so basketball starting will like kind of bring some juice back into to the radio show, because State's going to be very good. And so is Ole Miss. So I'm looking forward to it just from a day-to-day work perspective, like just having basketball to talk about, because it's going to be really good basketball. But especially for here and you guys, I mean, there's so much promise on this team. I mean, of course, there's question marks, because there always is for every team, but this one has so much potential. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Boise State's ahead of Ole Miss in the AP. You expect that to be flipped in the college football playoff rankings. We shall see. Who's calling the plays? I don't know. I mean, Kiffin certainly doesn't call every play, because you can see him. He's got a play sheet and a headset, but he's not. I don't think he's calling every play. I don't know. I don't know exactly what has changed, but I know that Jackson Dart is distributing the football more evenly. They really reduced the number of home run balls. Like, he didn't force the issue into double coverage downfield. It was a lot more methodical approach from the quarterback, and I think that some of that has to do with play calling. But what do I know? Need the college football playoff rankings to get released fast, because Tuesday has something else I'm going to be focused on. Yeah, it's funny. I have a feeling that there's going to be almost nobody here on Tuesday's live stream. Like, I'm still going to do it, but I just have a feeling that there's going to be nobody here. I've heard people say Lane Kiffin took over more control of the play calling since halftime of Oklahoma. What I think of that, it does look different. I don't know. I truly don't know. Maybe he did. He was unwilling to give himself any credit in the press conference, which is good. Even if there was a change, but isn't it funny that Ole Miss has two losses yet feel better about Georgia than ever did, than we ever did? The season has been something else. Seriously, isn't that crazy? You want to say they'll beat Georgia, but you don't know if you can. Literally saying Ole Miss beats Georgia just gets you nervous, but I kind of think that they do. If this team can't beat this Georgia team, then Lane Kiffin's never going to beat Kirby Smart. Talk Saints real quick. Change has to happen. The change that needs to happen isn't going to happen. I mean, it needs to happen from the very top of the franchise in Mickey Loomis. But, I mean, I saw somebody today say that he is written into her will. If that's true, then God help us all. But, yeah, Dennis Allen should not see tomorrow. I mean, he should be fired tomorrow morning. There's no other way that you can have seven straight losses, including to this Panthers team, and be the coach of the worst winning percentage in the history of the NFL, having coached as many games as he has, and continue working. I mean, you can't have that. But an unserious franchise like the Saints just might let it happen. Who do I think will be out on Saturday if Harris is out again? We can forget it. I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't necessarily agree with that. I do think Harris is going to try to play. But anyway, I got to run, guys. Went a little long, but that's okay. Couldn't care less. I just appreciate you being here. We will be back on Tuesday. I know it's election day, and minds will be focused elsewhere, but the college football playoff rankings are going to come out. So we will talk about that at least briefly for a little while. So hope you'll join me. Again, I know that's a thing. And so we'll be live on Tuesday. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we'll talk to you again on Tuesday on election night. Talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.